With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everybody, it's Maria Boynton reporting. Today we're discussing the retirement of Senator Johnny Isaacson. My guest today, Brian Robinson. You were formerly with Governor Deal's administration.
I was on both of his campaigns, and I was the deputy chief of staff for communications for Governor Deal. And today I do a little bit of Republican consulting, but I mainly own a public affairs communications firm
called
Robinson Republic. It's pretty creative, huh?
Yes, it really is. So let's talk about Senator Johnny Isaacson. I mean, I've known him since he was at the Capitol building downtown.
Yeah.
What do you think his legacy will be?
Johnny Isaacson will be seen as one of the most important Georgia figures of the last half century. And when you think of the very small pool of people who may be eligible and worthy of getting a statue on the state Capitol lawns, Johnny Isaacson is one of those. He's the first ever Georgia Republican to be elected to the U.S. Senate 3 times. But he's also the only person who served in the state House, the state Senate, the U.S. House, and the U.S. Senate. I mean, that's remarkable. And throw in that he was also at one time the chairman of the state school board. So here is someone who was a CEO of one of the most successful real estate companies in the entire Southeast, who also managed to squeeze in a half century of service to the people of Georgia. And I think one thing that's remarkable about Johnny is that even in these polarized times where there's so much hatred and rage toward people who see the world differently than you, Johnny Isaacson is exempt from that. Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, liberals, moderates, everybody likes and respects Johnny Isaacson. He's a throwback in that way. And I hope that one day we can go back to having statesmen like him and, frankly, my old boss, Nathan Deal. They are both men of their era and will both be greatly missed.
I remember working with Senator Isaacson when he was in the state house.
Yeah.
Just a few years ago.
And
he was a
yeah.
man who could shake hands, rub shoulders across partisan lines. We don't see that often anymore.
No, you really don't. And he is very unusual. He is a gentleman. And he is the Georgia gentleman. And that is how he is seen in Washington. That is how he is seen here. And the guy has a work ethic unlike anything you've ever seen. And that's part of why you see him stepping down. We all know that he's had well-publicized fights with health issues. He had a fall. He has Parkinson's. That is a progressive disease, so it is getting worse. And I think part of why he's stepping down is because he demands so much of himself. He wants to make sure that every group from Georgia that comes to Washington gets a greeting from their senator. He wants to make sure that he's at every event back home in Georgia that he can get to. And the fact that he can't do as much as he used to, I think, has weighed on him greatly. I think that even in a reduced capacity because of health issues, he's probably as active as most elected officials are.
And we must say, too, he is still a conservative.
Yes, absolutely.
A Republican. He would vote for Trump appointees.
Yeah, absolutely. He is a Republican, and he is a conservative, and he has been a fairly faithful supporter of President Trump's agenda, just as he was for President Bush's agenda back in the 2000s, and certainly someone who voted against President Obama's agenda. So he is a conservative. I think what sets him apart and what makes him not of this era is that he's able to talk about Democrats and talk with Democrats in a civil manner and treat them as human beings. And that's a model that I've always sought to emulate myself. I hope more people will.
And you do very well at that.
Thank you.
We talked about a relationship that you have here in the city of Atlanta with, of course, Theron Johnson, who is a Democrat. The two of you come on the show. You talk Republican issues. He talks Democratic issues. But then
Years later. Yeah, we've been doing it for years now. Yeah,
doing it for years. But let's talk about who could step into the Senate seat of Iowa. Yeah. And of course, Governor Kemp has to name someone to fill the unexpired term.
We have an electorate of one at this juncture, mm-hmm. and that is Brian Kemp. And no first-term governor wants to have this responsibility because you run the risk of making one person very happy and a lot of other people disappointed. And nobody wants to do that when they still have their own race to run. There will be tremendous pressures on Governor Kemp, tremendous, from people wanting the seat, mm-hmm. which everybody wants to be given a free pass to the U.S. Senate. That's one of the best jobs in the history of the world. And from the D.C. interest, from the Republican Senatorial Committee in D.C., from Senator McConnell, and then from Republicans in the state.
Who might he choose?
I think that there's an argument to be made in the congressional delegation for Doug Collins, the congressman from Gainesville in the Northeast Georgia area. He has a strong Republican base already. He's on Fox News all the time, so Republicans throughout the entire state know who he is. He is one of the top five defenders of Trump on the Hill, so he could very well get a tweet from Trump that would be helpful to his calls and probably decisive if that happened. And he has a very high-profile role on the Judiciary Committee where Republicans have seen him defending Trump, defending their side of the aisle. So he would be a popular choice. I think you're going to see a list of folks that includes names from the General Assembly,
mm-hmm.
Senate President Pro Tem Butch Miller, Speaker Pro Tem in the House Jan Jones, who's one of the highest-ranking women mm-hmm. in state government.
So women? What about minorities?
I think you're going to see some minorities on that list. Give Governor Kemp a lot of credit. He is very conscientious of diversity and of the visual and making sure that all Georgians are represented. It is something that's been at the forefront for him in a way that we haven't seen in the past. And recently, he was able to appoint an insurance commissioner because the one who was elected had to step aside.
Mm-hmm.
And he chose a Latino man. And you got to think that that was part of their thinking process. How can we make state government more diverse? How can we show more of what Georgia looks like in these highest ranking positions? So you're going to see some minority names and some women names if there's ever a list of contenders floated out there. I think that's very important for Governor Kemp. I think that's one of his values.
Some of the minority names that could pop up.
You know, no one saw John King, the Doraville police chief, becoming the insurance commissioner. It was kind of a name out of nowhere. You know, it could be somebody from Kemp's personal life, somebody from the Athens area where he lives and where he grew up. It could be a party activist somewhere around the state. At this moment, Maria, there aren't any high-profile minority Republicans in elected office, but there have been some. So he may have to go with an untraditional pick if he goes that route. And I think one thing weighing against a minority pick has nothing to do with race or gender.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to do with the fact that the appointee must be on the ballot in 2020 and then again in 2022. That is a really tough hill to climb. So you're going to want and need to appoint somebody who's already got a political network of their own, who's not starting at ground zero, who doesn't know how to run a campaign. You want somebody who's been under pressure, had a high-profile campaign win, has the phone numbers to call to raise money, and has a network. And I can say that really narrows down the list of potential contenders. Again, Doug Collins, Drew Ferguson, Tom Graves from the U.S. House, in the General Assembly, you've got the governor's floor leaders who have been very loyal to him. The two in the Senate, Brian Strickland and Blake Chillery, are both in their 30s, and they are attractive candidates. They are knowledgeable. They're energetic. They would be an outside-the-box pick. They are white men, but they are young and could potentially serve the state for a long time and build seniority. So that could be another consideration for Kemp. But at the end of the day, Kemp's got to make political calculations. He's got to have somebody who's going to be helpful and not hurtful to David Perdue on the ballot this year, and someone who's helpful, not hurtful to President Trump, who's on the ballot here this year, and then who's also good for Brian Kemp, because this person will be on the ballot with Kemp 2 years later in 2022. So he wants a really strong candidate. And one quirk of our ballot is in 2022, the person that Kemp picks to be U.S. Senator, if he wins in 2020, will be at the top of the ticket above Kemp. That's just how the ballot works.
Mm-hmm.
And so who's at the top of the ticket has dramatic impact on who comes below them. And in this one case, Kemp will be below them. So it's very important for him that people show up and want to show up to vote for the guy that or gal that he picks for the U.S. Senate.
Democrats are vowing to fight to fill the two Senate seats
right.
that are available.
Yeah, man. Georgia is in a very unique situation. We are the center of the political universe in this country next year. We have two U.S. Senate seats with the U.S. Senate majority on the line.
Mm-hmm.
We also are considered increasingly a swing state in the presidential race. You know, Trump really must win here to have a pathway to victory. And Democrats are salivating over it. Stacey Abrams proved that this is a competitive state.
Yeah, but she says she's not going to run for Senate.
But she will have a big say in how this race plays out. You know, just as Trump can tilt the scales for a Republican in a primary, Stacey Abrams can tilt the scales for a Democrat. Not only is she the most important endorsement in the state, even more so than John Lewis, who is an icon, she also has lots of money and access to lots of money outside the state. So she is an outsized presence in this entire campaign.
Looking forward to seeing how all of this plays out.
Absolutely. I'm a political nut, a political junkie. If you love politics, buy some popcorn, sit on the couch, because it is going to be a fantastic show here. And there's going to be, more so than we've ever seen in the past, a tremendous amount of national attention on Georgia. We've always been a red state for the last 20 years. No one thought that it was worth coming here to interview people. Now, all of a sudden, how Georgians are leaning in an election has national implications. And that's very important for every voter group in this state, whether you're a evangelical Christian, or whether you're a labor union member, or whether you are an African-American churchgoer. You matter, because everybody needs you.
Brian Robinson, always a pleasure to have you in.
Oh, thank you, Maria. I love being here.
Everybody, thank you for listening. I'm Maria Boynton.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.